episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Good evening. This is Be Told, episode number, is it, I don't even know, 35, 36, or thereabouts. Was it 37? Oh, no, September. I don't even know what date it is. There you go. It's the 10th. The 10th anniversary in Australia time, in about 8 hours, 9 hours time. It'll be the, no, actually, no, sorry. It's going to be, well, it's going to be 11 September in a few hours' time. But it didn't actually happen for us till I think it was like quite late at night when I was watching it on TV. Sitting in the lounge and someone's, I don't know, did we get a phone call? Did something happen? Or were we just watching it? Whatever. Next thing you know, I was watching TV and planes going into the tower. And now well, if you're a study, what we call a student of the fakeologist.com and hoaxbusters.com, Hoaxbusters Call, the greatest show of the lot, fakeologist has to be next, you would have seen the breakdown over the last 24 years this year. Breakdown. And you had some terrific stuff. Kendall. My favourite one is Chris Kendall, and he just rang up the New York Death Index for September the 12th and or September the 11th. It would have been September the 11th, and there was no extra death. It was about 600 deaths, was it? It was not 3,000. It was normally 600 a day or something, and there was no 3,000 deaths. So, you know, that they do everything legally. I'll just have to say this. A lot of legalese in there. Could I go on a bit later and see if there's anyone doing an anniversary? That'll be tomorrow night. So I probably won't be doing anything tomorrow night. But I thought I should come on and do a Be Told. So I was just driving along and I was listening to that song that I played on the end of the last one, Say It Ain't So song. What a great song. What a great song. And you find these great songs every now and then. Every now and then. And it fits in with the show. Now, what was I going to talk about? I just happened to spot, too, someone put a question in the media over here, and I've already shared a whole lot of stuff over the last, you know, few months on this mushroom murder story in Australia. You know, three people died, and this woman, you know, this fat-looking woman, just like the last distraction story, there was a fat rape victim, you know, two fatties. Really unattractive. Shouldn't be rude, but they were. It dominated the papers for 2 years, maybe 3 years. This mushroom one, I think, has gone for at least a year or thereabouts, but they've just prosecuted the woman. And I shared on Fakeologist and possibly on Truth Meets about 2 weeks ago. As soon as I saw that there's going to be cameras in the courtroom, that is a straight-out sign that you're watching a TV show. And they said, oh, we're not going to film her reaction, but we're going to be filming the judge sentencing you. Now, either way, this is completely illegal. They do not normally have courtroom cameras. They started it, though, the whole thing with JFK One of the great, I was listening to an eyewitness saying that he worked in a courtroom, and out of the blue, all of a sudden, these wires were getting rolled out, and there was camp, you know, they started, it became a media circus. They wanted it a mainstream circus. This is JFK 1963, which we're coming up to the 61st anniversary or whatever it is this year. I think so. 61 years since, and the same, I mean, look, the same day that he died, allegedly, what's his name died as well, who I reckon was faking his death so he could direct the 60s, Julian Huxley. You know, the backstory, you know, his wife poisoned him with, you know, and he went off, disappeared, and you never saw him again. I reckon he was directing the whole thing, just like a lot of conspiracy theorists say that, what's his name? Kubrick was directing the from tomorrow, the anniversary, 24 years ago. They pre-had the movie ready to go. That's all you saw was a film, low definition film footage of two objects going into buildings, leaving a roadrunner, as Chris Kendall used to describe it, shadow in the building of a plane with wings sticking out that was made of aluminium into a steel structure that had an exoskeleton made of hardened steel. Absolute ludicrousness. But you try telling people this, you will just meet this blank stare. And I've done it before. I was at a, some kind of surf club thing with nice people, but morons. Good-hearted people, but it's knowledgeable morons. And I mentioned something about, I didn't even say there was no planes. I just said there was the whole thing was a setup. And I had at least 10 people just staring at me with this blank look, like, you know, didn't know whether to laugh or I was joking or whatever. And I thought, I better stop this conversation right now. Now, interesting. I am just one for great conversation. I have to say that. I seem to pick my targets too. And I'm talking about roaming around. I have this kind of random conversation all over the place, be it a client's 90-year-old, she is. Fantastic conversation. And tonight, he says, opening a bottle of kombucha, the new sober, smoking cigarettes and drinking lots of kombucha. Now, don't tell me there's nothing to do. Kombucha, would you believe it? Which is fermented, so there's a there. But I'm not drinking beer during the week. And I'm telling you, I'm down 4 bra sizes. I'm looking more muscular, yeah, which is fantastic. I'm taking protein as well. Anyway, there I was in the shopping centre, one of the other places I have some of my greatest conversations, shopping centres, grocery stores to you if you're in America. And I saw this guy roaming around the aisles. He was talking to someone. He had his SES. This is the State Emergency Service, which are absolute heroes. These guys, they have orange reflective overalls, and they go out when there's a flood and bushfire and natural disaster, hurricane. These guys work all night. Something that I should be doing. I've got the skills. Why aren't I doing that? I think I might have to do that instead of just sitting there and talking rubbish on podcasts. Not talking rubbish, not especially on the Be Told show. Oh, no. You give them the greatest information ever sometimes in between, you know, random conversation. Anyway, as we're walking out, I said, oh, lucky there's no disaster. No, I said, there's no natural disasters tonight. Isn't that fantastic? And he said, yes, it's fantastic. And I said, well, you know, straight away, I said, well, to be honest, I said, I've been looking at long range weather. And he turned around, he goes, like, he met a person that he knew he could talk to. And he turned around, he goes, listen, I follow the sun, which isn't just a metaphor for an advertisement. He follows the sun. He said, I look at the sun and the moon. And he said, I've seen what's coming next year. And I said, look, we know what we're talking about straight away. I talked about my ants. The ants are my friends. They're blowing in the wind. If you go back onto the Beast Holds early this year or late last year, you'll hear me saying it's going to rain really heavily because my ants are going berserk. because they pick up the signals on the sun, of the sun, on their little antennae, which is on top, what they're there for, on top of their heads. It's not for TV reception. While they're underground, they can see, they can get the sun, solar storms that are going on. Guaranteed. Unless you're on some of those funny pages on Fakeologists, they don't go on. But they, I'm telling you, they're going on. And he knew, he said he could see what's coming next year. He's following the sun. He's been doing it for years. Bang. Me and him are having this great conversation. I hope I bump into him again. Really interesting guy. Probably same age as me-ish, whatever. But he understands the solar cycles and the moon cycles, and that's where we get our weather. The ancients knew this. I have to keep going on about it. Anyway, and so anyway, I was looking on, this is what I was getting back to, on someone mentioned something about this mushroom case and said, you know, they thought it wasn't real, but why would they do that? Why would they have a fake story? And I said, well, distraction story, which I've been going on about for a long time. Now, distraction story isn't just something to lose your mind just for the minute. It can be an operation that can go on for years to stop you thinking and talking about stuff. It's like, you know, the whole bread and circuses that the Roman generals said that we've got to use because it's keep the people amused and got no problem. If they all start realizing how bad things are, they're going to have no riot on the streets, and they don't want that. So therefore, you get these stories every now and then that are just absolute distraction stories. Now, some of them may be real, and the media's just got on and hyped it, or they're made up. And the mushroom one, I'm pretty sure, is just a made-up one. Same with the two fatty rape, you know, the political staffer that alleged someone raped her, and they're both like the most unattractive couple you've ever seen. Now, why wouldn't they have used a couple of good-looking people? Because politics is full of ugly people. So as I say, politics is entertainment industry for ugly people. It's true. It is true. I mean, apart from JFK, and I mean, most of them are just like really weird-looking people, particularly Joe Biden, but probably not in his young. No, no, even when he was younger, he's a weirdo. So distraction stories. Now, these things can be big distractions, little distractions. They can be just to, you know, say a great example is the Sex Pistols Grundy interview, which took over the airwaves when Bill Grundy, I think was his name, interviewed not all the Sex Pistols, but no, it was Susie, the Banshee Susie was there as well. And they were being interviewed by Grundy, and he deliberately antagonized them into swearing and then got, you know, this became the mainstream story for weeks, or at least a week. But what it was doing was hiding a much, there was a bad story in the media they didn't want you to see. Could have been the latest reports on the interest rates or whatever, but it was probably an experiment by a Tavistock. Because the Sex Pistols were like an arranged boy band that were part of the whole, not that they knew that, but the Situationist organization behind them did. Been used before, many, many, many times, guaranteed. Oh, I haven't heard any bumpers. I hope Joel's hasn't turned his thing off, but we'll give it 10 more minutes. When you will hear a beep, beep, beep. Well, you won't hear it, but I will. So, yeah, the Grundy thing, that was a distraction story. You dirty fucker. You dirty rotter. You know, and Steve Jones gave it to him because he was trying to put it on, deliberately put it on Susie, whatever her name was then, from Susie and the Banshees, when she was good looking. And it caused a huge big thing, a meltdown on TV, and everyone was threatening to not pay their TV licenses, which is another story into itself. Your TV licenses, which, you know, they had that TV license detector van driving around, which was apparently they were all completely fake. They did not work. It was a total psychological operation to make you pay your license fee. And apparently New Zealand had one, and Australia had one as well, believe it or not. He says pouring kombucha into a glass. Not bad. Fermented tea with some kind of fruit mixture with it. Not as nice as beer, but, you know, I tell you, I'm really over beer, though, apart from on weekends. I don't have cravings for it or anything like that. I feel better. I'm not sleeping very well. I cannot sleep. I have so much energy at that hour of the night. I might just mute to so I make sure I'm not wasting my efforts here. But Joel's always pretty good. He would have told me. But you know, he wouldn't have told me because this is a very rare occasion, me coming on a Wednesday night. I guarantee you. And when I come back, we're going to talk about tourism of England. The English tourist, a friend of mine's over there with his wife. He's from up this way. Okay, a bit further. I don't even bother contacting. I just got nothing in common with. Very interesting guy, though, about with his works. He works in a prison system. But he's off doing a fantastic holiday in England. And here we go. Fantastic. You're listening to Be Told. We'll be back again after the break.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Good evening. This is Be Told number 37. Would you believe it? 37. I've got a lot to catch up on. I did a bongversation with Doug Jay on Sunday. We're up to 44. And Rick and Rollo, at least 45. Unbelievable. Maybe more, 46. Terrific stuff. Terrific stuff. My son's, who's with me tonight, is going off to the Comic Con. Not this weekend, the weekend we get back, before we come back from Melbourne, after we get back from Melbourne. And he's into Dexter now. It's all thanks to, I mentioned it a lot. Maybe I did. But him and his friend are going there dressed up. He's going as a victim and his friend's going as Dexter. And they'll have a terrific time, you know, early 20s. The Comic Cons are fantastic if you're a comic nerd. If I was a younger conspiracy theorist, I'd be going there 100%. And you'd have a great time. Beautiful women all dressed up in comic gear. All over the place. Guaranteed. And anyway, so yes, a friend of mine, back to Be Told episode number 37, watching his reports on Facebook, and I'm actually quite jealous because he's actually got having a three-month drive from all through England all the way up to probably to Scotland and Wales and blah, 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 and Ireland, and probably going a bit further. He's probably taking long service or whatever it's called. And he's going off the beaten track a bit, but majority of the time he's going into old castles and stuff, which I'm fascinated with. These beautiful old buildings everywhere. I saw a bit of it, you know, around Glastonbury and Bath and places like that and on that journey. But pathetic. My travel is nothing. My daughter has travelled 100 times more than me already. She's gotten trains and drove from Amsterdam to, you know, Romania and Czechoslovakia and did road trips and gets trained. She did Vietnam and I think they were there for 2 weeks and they pretty much saw most of it, you know, they're on motorbikes and stuff like that. Fantastic. I only went to the Hanoi and the other place as a stopover. But I sucked in the vibe and went and did some interesting things. It's good. When I do travel, I do interesting things. But sadly, that's what I want to do. Can someone send me a huge sum of money and I'll stop talking about any subject you want me to stop talking about? Possibly. Which is a thing. And I do remember Jan Urban bringing this up, saying that if you're a podcaster, back when podcasting, you know, and YouTubing first became big, you would get a payment of $6,000 to shut up or, you know, to keep happy. He implied it was from the intelligence services, the CIA. He then shut up and you hardly hear from him. So I don't know if there's a there there. Is there a there there? Because that guy, I've been sharing some of his older shows, it was absolutely on the money with so much stuff. And it's interesting, he did 180s just like Bill Cooper. He started off doing a puff piece on mushrooms and the Bible and ended up working out that the whole thing was a cyclical operation run by the bank, you know, the Dulles Group, and et cetera. Changing the, you know, old books around and financing this and financing that. Fascinating stuff. Then he did a 180 when he was, what else was he? He was a Gnostic. And it was called Gnostic Media. He's then became Logos Media, which is the truth in the Christian Bible, Logos, the truth. So he's not adverse to doing 180s and spinning around and saying what he thought was right is now completely wrong. Now that is admirable. Very admirable. He says having some kombucha. Smoking cigarettes and drinking kombucha. Now, one of the things I'll just have to reiterate to blow smoke up my own posterior, that I've never got any glory from whatsoever. Not that I was seeking it, but it really is a big story that, no, it's not a big story, but George Orwell, I brought it up on the interview I did with Melissa from the Real History Show. And I said it's, you know, uncanny how Orwell's 1984 has a number of passages which I suggested were copied from a New Zealand author who wrote We Will Not Cease, Archibald Baxter. And I said it's a very strangely similar. And I suggested that Orwell must have read the book. Well, guess what? When I did some research, it was Orwell's publisher that actually published We Will Not Cease in 1939, one of the strongest anti-war books you've ever read, and about standing up and beating the government that tells you that you've got to do something. And it's the opposite. It's actually the opposite of 1984, because 1984 offers you no solutions. You get the boots stomped on your face forever, and Winston Smith comes out. And he has been, you know, after they did the rat thing to him, they stuck him in that cage with two hungry rats looking, so it was going to eat his eyes out. And he broke and he was there, doesn't, you know, he's no rebel anymore. Now, this book, We Will Not Cease, is the complete opposite. It's actually, he beats the government. He just says, I'm not doing it. I will not dress in your military uniform. I don't care what you do to me. I've already talked about this before, but when I discovered that Gollancz, the publisher of Orwell, a very good friend of Orwell, was the publisher for the same book. Now, this is an exclusive. And I've got a number of books I can look at right now. The Same Man by David Lebedoff, the Peter Stansky and William Abrams' Orwell, The Transformation. None of them mention this. These are published expert writers that have done in-depth studies on Orwell. I am the first person to say that he plagiarized a bit of another person's book. Now, it's fairly interesting stuff. Me, with no background of education whatsoever, apart from escaping from school when he was 5 years of age, quite on a regular basis, forming escape committees when he went to kindergarten, and not listening to anything the teacher said. And guess what? And I come out with, you know, did I go to Oxford or Cambridge or Eton? No. No. I come out and discover something that they couldn't discover. So, but do you get any credit for it? No. No. Do I want any credit for it? Maybe. Maybe a large sum of money and a traveling open ticket around the world. That would be fantastic. But that won't happen. That won't happen. Yeah, so anyway, back to the distraction story, the mushroom story on over here. Absolute load of old cobblers. I shared, every time it came on the radio, I put it onto fakeologist.com and say, this is going on in Australia, this is fake, 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 fake. And sure enough, it came out that they were going to put a camera in there and that just justified everything that I was saying. Because I was starting to think, is it real or not? And no. As soon as you see that cameras in the courtroom, think O.J. Simpson, think Kardashian, etc. Think JFK, and one of the biggest psyops we've ever seen back in the day. I highly recommend, too, looking at that, what's his name, King Kill 33, that all like Crow and all those other people go on about. Great book. And I've got a number of, but he went a bit mad, though. That author was a bit unusual. And speaking of mad, I've noticed is a friend of mine's twin brother. They were both cops in the 80s and 90s. Bodybuilders, models, interesting people that had trades beforehand. And now, next thing you know, one of them, the one that I'm friends with, he's putting all the stuff on Q and on the Facebook. I thought that's a bit unusual. And then he had a bit of a breakdown. I could see him sending messages that, you know, my phone's been hacked, and stuff. Next thing you know, I've seen this thing pop up, and it was his twin brother. And I played it, and it's him singing. And I was laughing my head off, thinking that, you know, he's parodying, he's doing it to be funny. But I don't think so. I think in actual fact, he's gone mad. Who's that popping in here to talk to me? Rollo, could you mute, because I'm doing my own show. If you can just go away, or I'll have to kick you off the site. Which, remember that time you came on and you fucked up the entire show that time? So, no, give me 10 minutes and then I'll talk. There we go. 10 minutes, just stay muted. I can't hear you anyway. Oh, have I got you muted? No, you're muted. Yeah, just stay muted.
I'll stay muted for 10 minutes as requested.
Right. Thank you very much. Yeah, so this guy has gone completely mad. And he's, why it's funny though, is he's got this thing, it's a kind of a star. It's some kind of site he goes on and he sings duets with naive females, a couple of that look like they could be from Asia or the Philippines, that come on and she starts singing in a quite beautiful voice. And he comes on and they sing a duet, but his voice, it's a strangled, high pitched, deep voice every now and then. Absolutely terrible, but it's so funny. I was laughing my head off. Then I started reading his posts, and these are this. Look, I've spotted a few mad posts before, but you can always tell when they're rambling, long posts, and they bring up parts of their past that you know is true, and they bring a lot of fantasy in with it as well, and that people are out to get them. That's always a sign, or that the government's this, and oh my goodness. And it's not funny, but it is funny. It's not funny, it is funny, but it is strange that it's the third cop I know that really had a mental breakdown. And I now am so glad, because I did consider that in Australia when I was in about 25 or 26 joining the police, because I had a lot of friends in there and I thought they were good guys. But I thought I wanted to do detective. I thought, because of my analytical mind, I'd be a great detective. And then I met the detectives in Australia and New South Wales, and they, not all of them, but the couple of them, the shiftiest bunch of cunts I've ever met in my life. And one guy that I know that actually appeared on, he is actually a media star now. He was interviewing a friend of mine about showing our training, or his brutal training regime that we were all part of. And he had been a detective at King's Cross, totally straight, which is, I describe myself as, like, not corruptible. I do the right thing. And he was warned, don't say anything, and he might have said something. Next thing you know, he had a kilo of heroin was found in his locker, and he was locked up with other prisoners in a lockup in Sydney at the police centre. And he said they wanted to kill him. They wouldn't have put him in there otherwise. They even gave him some shaving. They said, if you want to have a shave, they gave him a shaver, which he could have broken up and cut his wrists with. And this was a serious story. He ended up suing and getting a fairly large amount of money and got a pension, so he doesn't need to work again. And he's then hosted a TV show, and he's now working in, I think, Queensland. He's a journalist there. Great guy. He's got his own podcast too called Missing Many, his name is. Anyway, I thought that's going to happen to me. And then I listened, and this is really interesting, actually, while I'm on the show before I speak to Rollo, that the one thing that really woke me up to corruption and police force and the Masons, or, you know, the network and the police, was a show called Codename Julia, or Juliet, I think it might have been called, or Julia, or Julie. I'm not sure which one. But it was a true story, and it was a documentary about a team of police and detectives that were working on the LSD rock thing that was going on in England. There was a huge amount of LSD getting played. This was the English version of what happened in the 60s with the Grateful Dead. And they were trying to crack it and beat it, and they had undercover operatives in this festival, and they did all this hard work, and it was a really enthralling documentary. Then when they go to move on the guy that's running the operation, who has a title to him, he's told from his superiors, don't go, you can't do it. And they took an executive decision and said, no, we're going to do it. We want to bust this. Now, all of these guys ended up directing traffic in school, at schools, or laid off or sacked. Now, I saw that in 81 or 82, and that really put me off police and saying that you'll never move up the ranks unless you're part of the network. And it's so true that in England, you'll get to sergeant and that's it, unless you're a Mason. So it's the Catholics versus the Masons in the police force here and there. Fascinating stuff. Really worth watching Operation Julie or whatever it's called. I'll try and find it and put it on the notes out there. Rollo, are you in the room?
B-Told is my King Charles Cavalier Spaniel's 10th birthday today.
Oh!
B-Told. Yeah,
happy
Rosie's.
Happy birthday to
Rosie.
Happy birthday.
Can I fix up a couple of mistakes I made the other night?
Yes, go for it.
Okay, and so you did, and I can fix yours as well. Let me fix mine. It was 1994 where the Asian guy ran towards Prince Charles.
Oh, that's
it wasn't 1988. It was 1994 when he jumped on stage and your mate Danny would have taken him out, would have turned him into Pink Mist. No, he would have turned him into Pink Mist. That was another term I like, Pink Mist.
That's funny you should say that. He's the only other person I've heard talking about Pink Mist before, because he was telling me the story about when they were in Africa.
Have you not shot a rabbit, and you see it through the scope, and there's Pink Mist. He shot it through the head. Dang.
Funny you should say that. Danny was telling me about there's this plane. I forget what it's called. It's
I did sharpshooting when I was a kid. Sorry.
This is a different level here. He was saying that when there's a little, I forget it's called the Sea something or other or whatever, and it's this plane it's got so much gun heavy weaponry on it, but it's what the infantry call on if there's ever, they're outnumbered. Yeah. And he said, he described it, you hear this, like it's really high pitched. And that's the sound of is it 50 cal?
That's 50 cal
machine gun.
So many, that's such a caliber. Yeah. I've never shot a weapon like that. I shot an automatic weapon, but.
Yeah.
When it comes to sharpshooting.
Hang on. He said that all you see is pink mist. And I thought that's funny.
It will turn a human into pink mist.
Yeah. Twin 50 caliber machine gun.
That's terrible. I want to fix up. Kevin Lloyd was the guy that I was trying to think of on the bill. He played Tosh Lyons.
Tosh, yeah. Great show.
Boring. It was a great show. 1998, he got sacked for being a drunk on set. And then.
That show, I did.
I loved it.
Growing up in New Zealand was a bit like England. Like your TV was your main source of entertainment at night time.
Same
thing. And so there's a show come on like The Bill, and you get hooked on it because it's a.
And Velocet playing that tune just gave you member berries, didn't it? Massive member berries.
Yeah, that was kind of just before I came over here. That was like the early 80s, just before I came here.
Yeah. As much as I hate the cops as much as fucking I hate them so badly because they, raped me, I'm sorry, but that's what they did to me just for making a joke. Yes. Cavity search. Yeah, digitally rape. It was digital rape, but that's all right. Still rape.
A random cavity search of of a cat weasel lookalike roaming around the streets claiming to have cocaine up his rectum.
Yeah. Did I say Graham Linehan's name right? Yes. Or Graham Lynham?
I think it's Lynham, isn't it?
Lynham. Yeah. I think so. I want to correct that because it's spelled Linehan, but Lynham, but Velocette was right. He did do the IT Crowd and he did write the, Father Ted. He was well, coming into Heathrow and then having guns pointed at you and humiliated like that. I mean,
what a joke. Anyway, so speaking of which, I was just about to talk about it before you rudely interrupted the show. No, a friend of mine's traveling through England. He's going to all these, you're listening to a Beatle, episode number 37.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to another conversation
or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Very much, and you're listening to the Be Told Show. I'm the host of the Weekend Radio Show. I've just come in here to pop in and say hello. It's the 37th episode of Be Told on September the 10th, 2025. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, you fun little old man. Hey, and tomorrow, what's the anniversary, Rollo? What day happened 24 years ago? Can you remember? What happened 24 years ago
today?
Tomorrow.
Something.
Involving.
Of course, September 11, right?
Yes.
September 11. That's right. Because I got Susie's. Because my dog turns 10 today, 2 days before 9/11. That's right, 9/11. So, big time.
You've obviously had a few drinks because yesterday was Rosie's birthday, not today. Two days ago.
I've had two bottles of vodka. Can you tell I'm a thistle sifter? I'm a sifter thistles and unsifter thistles because I'm a thistle sifter. I thought the funniest. Sibler. I sent you that cop joke, and you said you wrote back, "I haven't had a cuddle and I drinks the ball," which made me laugh. Where he's tapping the guy on the head,
yeah, that was funny.
And then he drinks the whole bottle of scotch in front of him. Yeah, I love it.
I did chuckle away at that.
But 9/11 is no joke. So 9/11 is no joke. So Simon Shack, September Clues. And thank you for Susie playing your song with all that Jennifer Spell, yells. That was brilliant. I've been listening to Rollo 46.
Susie out there, if you're going to get, smoke blowing up any part of your body by Joel when it comes to sound grabs, then you must be good because he was clapping away. So he could tell how much hard work you put into that audio file. It was layer upon layer of obscure bits and pieces from,
I loved it.
What's her name?
I'll listen to it over and over. Susie is your number one fan. And look, she doesn't know where you live. You live somewhere near Port Macquarie and it's going to be tough to find you. How are we going to go out of Be Told with Rick tonight? I want to go out with Madonna mixed with the, because that beautiful song we went out with the other night. Yeah. Madonna with, Johnny Rod. Oh my God. The extended version though. I'll send it to Velo. I'll make sure it goes out. Do you want to go out with that?
Maybe, why not? Maybe we've already used, I know I've already played it before.
No, I don't think you have. I have.
Yes, I have. You know why? Because I was listening to Steve Jones when he had his radio show, which is absolutely fantastic.
And What's Steve Jones talking about?
The guitarist from the Sex Pistols. He was talking about that song. And someone said, have you heard this remix? And he said, yeah, it was really good. It's Madonna, Ray of Light, and it's called Ray of Gob, as in, you know, Gob, it's being spat at. You know, did you know that there's footage of him? This is how
Have you spoken to Steve Jones?
No, I'd like to. He's another. He's born.
Do you know who called me? Do you know who called me the other day? Elon Musk.
Rollo.
You think I'm joking, don't you?
Yes. Two balls.
I was on his official. I was on his official SpaceX. It wasn't a joke.
Elon.
You think I'm mad, wouldn't you? Why would Elon Musk want to speak to me? He goes,
exactly.
Look, you are following, he says, you're following me on X, which is Twitter. I never get used to calling it X. I always want to call it Twitter, you know, cause I'm an old man. I'm set in my ways. And Elon Musk sent me a message and I sent a message back and I said, well, my name's Rollo. I listen to truthmeets.com. Listen to me and Rick if you want to know anything about me. And you'll know.
Elon Musk may be listening. Elon Musk may be listening. So we should actually dress a little bit more appropriately.
I tell you, I said I'm honoured that you...
The King Charles listens. He's a regular listener. The King.
Well, that was brilliant. Yeah, that was brilliant the other night. And again, I'm sorry I got the date wrong. It was 1994. It wasn't 1988. I mean, when the Asian jumped up on stage, and it was Ian Kiernan. Is he still with us? I think we've lost him, the Clean Up Australia Day guy. There were a whole bunch of people that took him down. But I love the way Chuck just looked and it really didn't. It just went, what the fuck's going on here?
He's probably saying, why have my security unit not blown this guy's head?
Yes, that's right. Where's my security detail? You know,
because I'd be concerned if someone come running towards me with a cap gun. I don't care what it is. And if you're a public person like that, he probably shit himself. He probably did shit himself.
No, he just but he looks so young too. I mean. Look, I've got no real love for the royal family. Again, what you said the other night about having him in the crosshairs.
Yes, that was my old boss.
That's the most amazing thing I've ever heard in my life. Yeah. But if you were Maori and you would have taken him out if you weren't trusted, like Danny.
Danny was a close. He was a bodyguard for him, but Andy Bennett has served under him on the HMAS.
That's called professionalism. That's professionalism, yeah. And you don't get anywhere near Chuck unless you're, especially with a bloody high-powered weapon.
Unless you're Jimmy Savile. Apparently Jimmy Savile could walk in and out of there.
Well, there are photos of him shaking his hand.
I'd like to ask him about that if that's possible or real. I shall do.
Do you know what we're doing here right now? That's called what's it called in your brain where there are two conflicts? What's that called when there are two conflicting things? Like Jimmy Savile, they're being friends with Chuck, right? Well, it seems like friends. Like they're shaking hands.
That means when you're that's an Orwellian.
It's called. It's definite. Come on, in your mind, where there are
cognitive dissonance.
Cognitive dissonance. You got it, Rick. You got it. Cognitive dissonance. It's something where you're trying to make sense of that. And because you and your friendship with Danny and his protection, because that's his job to. And I've got no love of the monarchy, but I've.
Well, to me,
I've got no love for Donnie Trump either, but to me,
the one thing about Charles is that he had a great sense of humour, and he did a really funny parody of Blue Bottle. That was Peter Sellers' character.
That will get you. That will get you. You know, those fishy, smelly hands that apparently Danny put up to Charles's. And
yeah,
he smelled it.
Oh, he laughed his head off. He was a highly.
But kind that's of that hilarious shock to me.
Yeah. Well, that's the kind of guy.
A sense of humor will get you into bed anytime with a woman. It doesn't matter how ugly you are.
On here before you disappear mysteriously. It's Peter Sellers' 100th birthday, if he was 100 this week, I think, or last week.
I loved everything about that man.
A funny story I just heard about him the other day. I've heard of many funny stories about him, but one of there's a couple of funny ones. But one of them, the one about the Rolls Royce and Spike Milligan's very funny. But there's apparently he said to he was going to dinner with some friends, and they said we'll go to this pub. They named the pub, and he goes. Oh, I don't know if I want to go there because people recognize me. And he goes, I hate being recognized whenever I go. And they said, no, I don't think you just go there. Anyway, they went into this pub in England somewhere and no one recognized him. He was getting really pissed off. So he took his hat off to see, you know, like someone's going to recognize me in a minute now. And no one recognized him. He got shitty about that, you know, because there he was saying that I don't know everyone recognized
him. That is
hilarious. This is. Because he's a Virgo, right? And, you know, he has his funny ways, as they do. Most Virgos are funny people. And he turned up at Spike Milligan's house about midnight one morning and came knocking on the door, and Spike came down and said, what's the matter? He goes, you've got to come and help me. There's a squeak, and he just bought this brand new Rolls Royce. He said, there's somewhere in there, there's a squeak, and it's driving him mad. And he's got around, and he's put oil over everything, and he couldn't figure out where it's going. He goes, can you just sit in the back and tell me where the squeak's coming from? And they were driving along and he could hear it. And he said, I can hear it. And he said, well, get in the boot, because they thought it must be in the boot. So he's driving around with Spike Milligan in the boot. Mm-hmm. And this cop pulled him over and said, excuse me, sir, what are you doing? And he said, because he was going up on the edge of the curb and coming back down again because he got to make the same squeak. And Spike Milligan was hot. It was in the boot trying to hear. And then, anyway, and he tried to tell that to the cop. And then he said, who's in the boot? And he goes, Spike Milligan. And he goes, okay, sir, open the boot. And they open the boot, and there's Spike Milligan lying in the boot.
Is that one of the morning? God.
The cop's just gone, this is just typical of you two. You know, like, because he was famous. You know, everyone knew they were mad. But. I laughed my head off with that.
It's like David Niven and bloody the guy from the Beatles. What was his name? The guy that got shot, leaving him out in the middle of nowhere or something. But oh my god, that is so funny. Famous people when they interact, that is just.
Well, you get real stories every now and then.
I've read Peter Sellers' book by his son. Well,
that's not funny. That's not funny.
There's a lot of humor in that. I've got to tell you, but it's very interesting about.
Spike Milligan and him are very funny.
What did you think of Jeffrey Rush doing the?
Never saw it. Apparently,
you never saw the life and death of Peter Sellers. Yeah, they made it. They made it too. Like Peter Sellers wasn't a monster. He was a monster. He was really in the second. If you read the book, him in the Second World War, he was. You know, he got up to some things that you'd. You'll have to read it from. I've got the book here. Where is
it? It was in the RAF. He had an obsessive. His mother's Jewish, and she was a really
Anything. We said that the other day. Wrong with that. We're not going to do the Jew thing. Yes, that's all right. We know he's a Jew. All right. Where's my Peter Sellers book here?
That's why he had such a great sense of humour. I'm telling you, they outdo everybody. For some of the funniest comedy writers out there are all Jewish.
Yeah, I found it. Here we go. It's P.S. I found it. I've got it.
P.S. I love you.
Now that I live in my own home, it's not autographed.
Right, is it still clean, or have you destroyed it with your vodka?
No, I... Are you gonna let me just read the so it was $2 it's got written on the front cover, P.S. I love you. So it's called P.S. I love you, Peter Sellers, 1925 to 1980, Michael Sellers with Sarah and Victoria Sellers.
Yep.
Okay. Do you want me to we dedicate this book to the memory of our father, Michael, Sarah and Victoria Sellers. So, okay, the acknowledgements, Sarah, I would like to
thank... No, don't read all that. No, we don't want to hear all that. Just what nasty things happened to him? I know that he was a...
Okay, let me so he goes, didn't leave his children. And how, the two firsts, the Rolls-Royce and the Austin. There's Gary, Cary Grant and Peter, Spike Milligan, Peter and Harry Seacon, and then it's Peter and... Sophia Loren, then Peter with Brick Eklund and his mother, Peter and Britt, Victoria, Peter and Britt.
You're reading the photo credits of the book.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay, so can I read the foreword? My father had some funny ways of showing how he loved us. His behavior towards us was always unpredictable, but that did not mean that he didn't love us any the less. The tragedy was he did not know how to communicate with us or to express his love. That is why this book is necessary. Our inheritance is our memory of him. The memory of the genius who loved by a million.
Yeah. Loved by a million. I kind of know about a fair bit about it, but
that's right, because he left most of the money got given to
his girlfriend, new wife.
What was her name? The one that went back to the BBC fellow. What was her? It was the woman that. What was his name? Frost. David Frost. Yeah. She went back to him. Lynn Frederick.
Yeah, you got it. 100%. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. I know the story. But like this is the thing, though. So many comedians were tortured in real life, and Spike Milligan was just as bad, if not worse. I mean, he was on powerful antidepressants after they got shell shock in the First World War, Second World War. Right?
Do you remember when he. When he had his first heart attack with Britt Eklund, if you've seen the movie, it's a B-E. It's not Britt Eklund. Wasn't Britt Eklund, who was played by the prettiest actress at the time,
Britt Eklund was very good looking.
But she was played by. Oh my god, it was such a good movie. But the only problem I have with the movie is it doesn't paint him as the monster that he is.
I don't think he's a monster.
Or was. No, he was a monster. He was a psychologically – if you ever been around people that are famous, that are just insufferable when they are they tried to put that into the movie. Even the Pythons, not the Pythons. The Goon Show guys. So that was Harry Seacom, Spike Milligan, and Michael Benteen. Yeah, exactly. Who had to suffer through him, his perfectionism or whatever the hell he thought it was.
Yeah, no, it was perfectionism. And the other thing is he didn't think he was fun. So what he would do is he'd test jokes out on his milkman. It was a regular gag. And if the milkman didn't laugh, he said it wasn't funny. So half the time there were really funny gags, but the milkman didn't have a very good sense of humor. And so he was testing everything out as milkman. But Spike Milligan did the same thing. Like his children were all miserable, that, you know, because he got married, you know, three times or the third time. And, you know, the new wife got all the money possibly. But he, you know, like the children would say, he was in such, I mean, you're a manic depressive as well. You know, not the moment, but you have been. He would be so depressed.
Peter Sellers' first wife reminds me of my wife. You know, I'm going to jump off the balcony, and then she will go downstairers and say, "I'll see you when you're, you know, at the bottom."
Yeah,
if I'm going to jump off.
Yeah, well, that's
what Christy would do because
you're listening to Be Told 37, interrupted by Rollo.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to another conversation.
Or your affiliate.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Old episode number 37 on the 10th of September 2025, 24 years after the 9/11 psychological operation. And we're talking about to Rollo, who's an interloper, who's come on here to... I had a feeling you'd pop in tonight, by odd coincidence. But anyway. Well, so
you're not in Melbourne. You're not in Melbourne.
No, yet. Saturday.
Well, hopefully you're. I made the joke. I hope your pilot's not vaccinated. Yeah.
So do I. Right?
I'm going to give this book to you, and it's got lovely pictures in it too. Above left, when we spent so much of our childhood.
I'll just talk about like Spike Milligan's kids.
Sure.
It'll be Christmas morning. And they go up to get daddy, you know, come down. And he was in such dark depressions, he'd just be lying in bed with the lights off. He could not get out of bed on Christmas morning to face anyone. This happened regularly. But yet he used to do, you know, write really funny little things for them. And, you know, he was a hit and miss father. He was either manically depressive or he was too happy, like you.
So, is this Peter Sellers?
Spike Milligan. They're both
Spike Milligan. Yeah. Do you know he came to Australia to die?
No.
Yeah, Central Coast.
Please. His parents moved to Woi Woi and retired in about 50 or 60, early 60s. And then he used to come over on holiday in Woi Woi, and he described it as the world's first above ground cemetery. That's how boring it was. But Woi Woi is a beautiful spot, and it would have been back then, it would have been really nice. But he was there. His brother was a journalist for the ABC or for the Sydney Morning Herald. And so his family had come over here. He used to come here on a regular basis and write. A lot of his books are written with a Woi Woi address. And can I just say this? That house came up for sale about 15 years ago. And I was thinking, if I had the money, I'd buy it and turn it into like a tourist thing.
Wow.
Quite Milligan for now. Yeah. But someone would have bought it and probably bulldozed it or whatever. Another one of my could have, would have, should have, didn't stories.
Do you know what that reminds me of? When me and Christy were down in Wollongong, I think it's, you know, remember the artist Brett Whiteley?
Yeah.
Do you remember Brett Whiteley? He painted portraits, he's quite famous.
He's a very talented man. Very talented man.
My mother
overdosed in a hotel down that way.
That's right. And we got to
that room.
We stayed in the room. Yeah. In the room.
You reckon he was the
one? We made love in that room.
Oh my god. Too much information.
TMI. But it was only just because of the artwork. It was so beautiful, that self-portrait. And he, I think he...
I actually brought up...
did he die too young?
Of course he did. Yeah, no, he overdosed. But he had, what a tragic life, because his daughter, Aki, who was an actress, she went and died like at, you know, she was only in her maybe late 20s or early 30s. She died. So his wife now... who owns, you know, all the royalties, I guess, he was making an awful lot of money. And I've got this English writer.
Oh, yeah, I know you're trying to think of Clive, the humorist. The
humorist, Clive.
Right,
yeah.
What
is the matter with my fucking memory?
No. We've both got it.
Jesus,
Clive. He's Australian, though, isn't he?
Yeah. So, and his
Clive, he's got a terrific. Here we go. Give me a second.
No, it'll come to me. When he wrote in his biography about when he first
Clive
went to
James.
England, Clive James. Yeah, in his book Falling Towards England, see, I can remember that. He talked about hanging out with this extraordinarily talented Australian artist, and he actually calls him by a different name. So I was thinking, I wonder who that is, but it was actually a pseudonym he was using. But it was Brett Whiteley, and he was selling his paintings for hundreds of pounds back then. You know, like he had a huge following in England.
That's so funny. Yeah.
So he was.
Yeah, he died on the 24th of November 2019. So. Yeah,
no, 2019. Oh, yeah, no, Clive James died. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, Clive James. Sorry, yeah, not. Did you ever? Did you ever speak to Clive James?
No, never. He didn't do.
Clive Robertson, you obviously won 200 TGB dollars, TGB bucks, I call them. Yeah,
I did.
I didn't think he was. I thought he was 2UE guy, but. Because I never listened to TGB, so
anyway, Rollo. How long have you been back on a vodka binge for? Every day, or just
Look, it's because you took me down to Aldi, and it's so cheap down at Aldi there at Cardiff.
Yeah.
So I can and now they give me two bottles for the price of one, so I get like 3 liters for I met this young lady who works at Aldi, and she's very nice to me. And yeah.
For now, till you go back in there for a third
day. Well, I'm here and I get my cigarettes at that same place at that shop.
What a bad role model I am to you, Roland. I've taken you to Aldi, introduced you to cheap alcohol. And
I know, it's amazing.
And now I've started you smoking again.
You've created a monster, my friend.
To be honest, I don't think, as long as you stay off, if you do it every now and then.
I don't smoke in the house. You said don't smoke in the house.
No, never, ever.
Why would I? Because it will upset Rosie because she's 17 and it will hurt her lungs and stink the house out. That's right. Yeah. So what I'm going to do...
You can't do it every day, Rollo. I'm just saying you cannot be on the vodkas every day. It will just fucking... You'll go mad. And you have done that before.
The trouble with you, Rick, is you care too much.
Well, I'm the one that gets the phone calls from your ex-wife saying he's gone and threatened to come jump off a bridge. And I always say, tell him to fucking find a high one and make sure it's done properly. And that's what I say. That's what I said.
Well, what else are you going to do, mate?
Exactly.
Can we talk about Peter Sellers a little bit more?
Go for it.
Yeah,
Well, seems we're not doing
When it comes to Rollo, him in Rollo, the Second Rollo. World War.
Seems we're not doing a Rick and Rollo this Saturday night because I'll be entertaining myself.
Tell me about what are you getting up to down there in Melbourne?
No, it's going social. I'll be catch up with it, you know, probably go out. I've got plenty of people to catch up with.
Go to the Ligons, take your boy to. Can I mention his name or not?
No, Herbert.
All right. Okay. But take your Herbert. Boy. There you go. I just want to say, can I mention your boy's name?
No, I just told you no.
Ligon Street. Take him to Ligon Street. Go and have a meal there. You might run into my favorite. When it comes to Chopper died years ago. You might run into Sam Newman. Newman's absolute class, or Daryl Summers, or if you go to Ligon Street, you might run into Red Simons. Although the people I love, they're all still alive.
Apparently, a third member of Hey Hey It's Saturday, or regular on Hey Hey It's Saturday, has got mouth cancer or head cancer.
I know you're talking about John Blackman.
John Blackman and John Farnham, who was a regular on the show, both had the same one. But no, now what's his name's got it? The saxophone player. What's his name?
He went out with that socialite, the woman that did that huge magazine. What was his name?
He went out with Toddy Goldsmith. He went out with a lot of girls.
Wilbur.
Mm. That's the third person from that show that have all got the same kind of issue. And someone said, it's because they all smoke cigars. I don't know if that's
what it is. Cigars. Is that what gives them their mouth cancer? It was always funny. What I loved about that show is that they kind of made it was live. It's like daylight and then like it's nighttime here in New South Wales. And we're on the same time. My favorite thing about when it comes to Hey Hey It's Saturday is gotta be when they did that the Michael Jackson brothers, whatever, remember? And the guy on the red gong thing took offense.
That American actor singer.
That American guy. Yeah. And he goes, if you did that in America, you get your ass fucking kicked. And they did that big suck up.
Pardon me.
Fuck, I have to look it up.
This is the Be Told show, Rollo, not Rick and Rollo show.
I'll be told. Hold on. Let me just look.
You've been told.
Okay. Okay. So, hey.
What's his name? He's an actor. He was in American World War II plane movie. And he can sing, and the girls all like him.
He's a very good looking fella. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, the girls all thought he's good looking. What's his name?
I've got a brain for
that. A B C D E F G. Harry Connick Jr.
Harry Connick Jr. That's right.
So I went A, B, C, D, H, boom.
Well done. It was cringy, the apologies. Like, never apologize. Like, those guys were all doctors and lawyers. They knew what they were doing. They knew what they were up for.
I'll just explain it. So it was a segment on the show. It was called Red Faces, which was copied off the Gong Show, where some talentless people or talented people get up and sing, and you get a gong and be a guest, celebrity guest. And it was Harry Connick Jr. And these guys did a Michael Jackson.
A reunion show. They were redoing it 20 years later. These guys had already, when they were uni students in 1985 or whatever, on Hey Hey It's Saturday.
I can remember clearly watching the black and white minstrel show on a Sunday afternoon in New Zealand on TV. It was on probably an Australian TV. It was certainly on an English TV.
And you'd never be allowed to get away with it now.
No, absolutely
with the gollywog. with a guy.
They were all dressed up.
Gollywogs.
I think that gollywogs are illegal now, probably. But no, yeah, they just had black clothes on.
Did you see a black guy doing white face the other day
The Wayans brother, whatever they call those two black comedians, Damon Wayans and his brother.
Right. I've seen that. White Chicks, the movie.
No, White Chicks. So they did white face. Did they get into trouble for that? I don't think so.
No, because they put in there and they blew, what are they, those blue things that you put on your eyes? Those,
no idea.
I used to wear them when I was a kid, those
blue things.
Because I didn't like wearing glasses. They're sort of like lenses you put on your eyes. You've never worn them?
Not at all.
People can't handle it. They're lenses.
Swimming goggles?
No, lenses where you actually put them on your eyeball. A lot of people can't handle it.
Oh, you mean contact lenses?
Contact lenses, yeah. I used to use them when I was a youngster because I didn't like wearing glasses because, well, chicks didn't want to fuck me.
Well, now I think glasses are all cool again. I think you don't see.
Well, I wear my prescription dark glasses. I've got no problem. I've got no problem.
Anyway,
with
that was a show that I was kind of halfway on about this on. Which? I've been listening to. The record. No, I've been listening to the great Rock and Roll Swindle album on my Apple Music. And that is such an out there album. I think I paid $16 back when double albums used to be $10, or I paid a lot of money back in the day to buy that. But that is the strangest album. It's got so many weird songs on it. None of the sex, like Sid Vicious was dead then, by then, I think. But it was a great movie. Julian Temple directed it. It's off the charts weird stuff, but the soundtrack has got so many great weird songs on it, and I've been playing. It's if you're into like weird versions of Sex Pistols songs, that album's full of some really good. It's got a French version, like some French guy playing the harmonica, that squishy out thing, the harmonium or whatever, singing Anarchy in the UK. It's got what's his name? Malcolm McLaren singing a version of You Need Hands.
I am an antichrist, and I am an anarchist. I know what you want, and I know how to get it. Yeah,
it's got so many weird versions of songs. That's really, but it's worth listening to if you've got attention.
Honestly, I have more love for John Lydon than. When he's a big fat so, when he did his Filthy Lucre tour though, and they had I'd love to go out with Madonna and him because like when he's like seriously the guy is
this is the Rick Vitale show. Not the Rick and Rollo show.
He loved Sid Vicious. Sid Vicious.
John Ritchie.
What did you think of Gary Oldman's?
Yeah, not bad.
That movie of
Sid and Nancy.
I thought it was fantastic. I think it's one of Gary Oldman's very first
movies. It was very early in the piece, though. Yeah. He did a good job.
Oh, yeah.
It actually has a cameo by Kurt Cobain's lunatic ex. What's her name? She actually makes a cameo. I think she wanted to be the lead actress in it. Yeah, in Sid and Nancy, which is appropriate because she became the Nancy to Kurt Cobain, really. Courtney Love. Courtney Love makes a cameo before she was well known in Sid and Nancy as a extra, or you do see it in the
yes. I'm looking at it right now.
Interesting.
My God, 1986. Sid and Nancy.
She's about my age. I think Courtney Love's either my age or your age, one of the two, but she'd be heading towards 60 on a very fast trajectory, I would say.
It's hilarious.
We could go out with that Ray of Gob. I'll find it and send it to send if you
oh,
send.
Oh yeah, Ray of Gob. No, do you want me to send it to him? The Ray of Gob, the one.
Just say Rick. Rick has agreed.
Send it to him.
Rick.
Yeah, Rick's agreed.
Awesome. To go out with this. Well, that I've come into.
There are a few other things I just want to say. Just Kendo, the Kendo, and I found the Kendo, and I had.
As an original.
It's not the one that I sent you. It's very simple. I'll take a photo of it and I'll send it to you. Reg Mombatha, I want to say good day to him.
Do you think he's listening?
Farting dog. Hello, with the tune out of because my dog farted. And every time my dog farts, I think of Reg Mombatha.
He made a lot of money out of that. He put a single note above the dog's bottom and became an absolute iconic legend of a illustration. He's another Kiwi. Yep. Typical Kiwi. Really clever.
And who's that guy in South Australia that we really like?
You're listening to Be Told, interrupted by Rollo 37.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Told,
Jim. Go. You're listening to Be Told, episode number 37, on the September the 10th, 2025, with Rollo, who's coming here, which is less good because I'm going to be doing a show.
Hi, Jackie. Hi, Jackie. Can I just say a big shout out to Johnny's wrist? He sent a Pearl Jam pearler that I. He looks so young. It's so brilliant. So Pearl Jam, Rearview Mirror. One of my wife's favorite songs. I know.
I don't like Pearl Jam at all. You know why? And I never have liked them, even though they're not bad musicians.
All right. Let's go to positive. Ranger, Verilicious, our lovely girl. Now, who's the guy that does the window wiping of high rises? Verilicious and Ranger with the dog. Ranger with the dog with the tongue stuck out because Rosie turned 10 today. I'm going to send, and you can go out. I'm going to. Who died? The Supertramp. We lost
Rick Davies.
Rick Davies. Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, you think we probably should go out with Road. You're bloody well, right? But no, we're going to go out with. I love this because, because I'm going to miss you because there will be no Rick and Roller next Saturday because there's no internet. In Melbourne, as Melbourne does not have internet. There's no internet but I will send the Rick Davies. Sorry, we shouldn't. Did you Supertramp? The logical song.
My English teacher, circa 78, 79, used to for his class. Used to bring in a record player and play that Supertramp album and get people to sit and listen to it and then talk about the lyrics. Because there's some terrific lyrics. Terrific lyrics.
But What was his name? Mr. Nauman. Well, now you're...
Yep.
Yeah.
Mr. Nauman. Rob Nauman. But yeah, no, great band. But isn't it strange that album cover, now that it's the anniversary of 24 years.
The flip of Breakfast in America with a woman in that thing. Oh, my God, it's crazy.
And if you cut the thing, it says 11th, September 11, it has the 11th or whatever, and the plane coming over for breakfast and her holding up. If you edit the album cover slightly, you basically see a very obvious September 11th. It's a 9/11 actually on the top of the wing.
You can see 9/11.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Amazing.
It's an old conspiracy thing for the experts out there, Yeah, terrific stuff, though. And if you listen to that, it's called Crime of the Century, the Crime of the Century, and they're talking about 9/11 being the Crime of the Century. You know, so it came out in 78, I guess, 77, 78, when the album first came out. Probably, I'd say 77.
So 79, and the band started 79? In 60. I think they were very early, 69. I think they started.
Great band. Roger Hodgson, which I've played many times on different shows, but he is a real talent. That's the main singer. Rick Davies was a singer as well, though, I do believe.
Well, Ab's there you go.
Ab's a big fan.
I've sent the Go Home Productions Ray of Gob, the extended to go at the end.
Yeah,
I love Supertramp. I write you bloody well, right? Oh man, it'd make your head bleed. I can hear it on the roof.
I'm glad I'm driving on the road.
I remember you saying that the other night. It sucked here in Newey, but it was worse from when you went from Taree to near Port Macquarie where you live.
Yeah.
So what's your mate doing? So your mate's got a new business.
Which one?
He's got four burgers and he says one serve of chips with like sauce and that.
No. Well, funny you should say that. I just was there, but Epic Burger Shack.
Is that it? Yeah, sell it.
He does four. He only has four different burgers though, and they're all, you know, and they come with chips with fries if you want.
Mm.
But they are beautiful, and he sources everything, and he sources the ingredients.
Aioli, which is like, that's kind of fancy.
Aioli, you do get aioli, but I don't eat them. I got one for my son tonight. I got him and he's demolished it. The one that's now binge watching, Dexter. And going to Comic Con.
That was hilarious, how when you said that your son is going. Now we can actually talk that.
He's going as a victim.
Your son is going to a what's it called? A
Comic Con.
A Comic Con. Now he's going as Dexter, and his mate's
he's going as a victim, but his friend's going as Dexter.
Oh, his mate's going as Dexter.
This is his friend who was paralyzed in a car crash too. It's a very sad story, but he gets out and does things in a wheelchair. Yeah. So.
Make sure they take one of those knives that you could pretend stab.
Mm.
You know where the actual blade just goes.
Back when he was little, he was a spinning. He looked like a mini. Heath Ledger, and he got his cousin did him up as the Joker when he was about 6 or 7. And we went to the Comic Con, and we just had people everywhere wanting to take photos of him because he looks like a little Heath Ledger,
a spitting image of Heath Ledger's Joker.
He's got the same kind of face too, you know, wide mouth.
And, so how do they do the scars on the side of the mouth?
My sister's daughter did it, and she's just a natural talent at doing face painting, and she made him up looking just. I'll try and find a photo. Brilliant. It's so good. But the last one he went to, he dressed up as It from the latest version of It with a balloon.
He's had a stroke.
Not him. This is the latest version of It. The new version. Not the TV show. They're completely different.
Yeah, the fella that now who was he?
He was a fantastic European actor. You know, you're talking about the guy that played It on the TV show that had John Boy Walton as one of the guys, and John Ritter was in it as well. He was the original Count Frankenfurter from Rocky Horror Picture Show.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who played Frankenfurter? See if you can get it before I find it.
Oh, what's his name? Why can't I remember these?
I know. We're all getting Alberta. Oh, it's something Price or something, is it? No, it's not Price. It's Tim Curry.
Tim Curry, yeah.
He had a massive stroke in 2012. And
did he?
Yeah, and he's been in a wheelchair ever since. He still loves his fans. He's still compos mentis. He's just, he was like that really creepy one in Home Alone 2, I think it was, he was awesome in Legend. Remember with
Tom Cruise,
yeah. But
good movie.
But of course, he was, ultimately typecast. That's one of the worst things when you're so good at your job. When he played Frankenfurter, even with the makeup, yeah, it's terrible to be typecast, and that's one of the saddest things. Reading Tom Baker's autobiography was when how forlorn he went. I did think that I was going to be a movie star and this and that. The tragic part is I had the voice. I stayed there for 7 years as Doctor Who from 1974 to 1981. He couldn't shake being typecast, even with the makeup and that. His voice is
anyway,
so.
On that note,
can you go out with it? Just say it again. So it is Go Home Productions.
Ray of Gob, which is features the Sex Pistols and Madonna. Ray of Light, one of her best songs, in my opinion. One of her best songs.
In Chris's opinion, her favourite song. Oh, sorry, I fucked up your ending there. Do a take two on the go out.
I'm not doing a take two, but Rick and Roll. Beatles, number 37, and we're going out with A Ray of Gob, which is Rollo's choice, because we're not doing a Rick and Rollo this week. We'll be back next week, though, for Rick and Rollo, be told. So we're ending with A Ray of Gob. Thank you very much, everybody, and I'll speak to you. I'll give you a call later, Rollo. We can go in the green room or something briefly. Thank you very much.
Right, mate.
And be told next week without Rollo. Be told. Goodbye.
You don't write God Save the Queen because you hate the English race. You write a song like that because you love them and you're fed up at them being mistreated.
All right. Just stop the fucking spitting. I don't like being spat at.
Listening to Conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Or the cold thunder threatens everyone.